President Trump faces the Iran paradox as allies meet and carriers deploy. Today, we're going to do a deep dive into an article written by Tanya Corrado Koenig and take a look at this paradox, the Iranian paradox. What is this paradox? What we see is a paradox in motion. Diplomatic talks with Iranian leadership endorsed by the U.S. Massive military firepower mobilized and ready, presidential hesitation and prophetic momentum and political pressure. Trump is a man who often thrives in ambiguity, but this moment may soon demand clarity. Will he sanction a tactical strike? Will he back European-led negotiations? Or will he delay while pressure mounts? As the world waits, the question is no longer whether something will happen, but who will define it first? The diplomats, the generals, or the president himself? This is not merely a diplomatic test or a geopolitical alignment of forces. It is a spiritual crossroad. Israel faces threats on every front, and Psalm 83's cry echoes throughout history. They have said, "Come, let us wipe them out as a nation." The nations gather, the war rooms fill. The carriers sail. But one man, the President of the United States, stands between detonation and delay, between retreat and resolve. And millions, both enemies and allies, are watching not just what he says, but why he was preserved. You don't choose the moment chooses you. And this moment has chosen Donald Trump. Listen in as we unpack the Iranian paradox. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 24th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 14:16-30. The Lord was not able to bring them into the land he swore to give them, so he killed them in the wilderness. Please, Lord, prove that your power is as great as you have claimed. For you said, "The Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. But he does not excuse the guilty. He lays the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations. In keeping with your magnificent, unfailing love, please pardon the sins of this people, just as you have forgiven them ever since they left Egypt." Then the Lord said, "I will pardon them as you have requested, but as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. They have all seen my glorious presence, and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Now, turn around and don't go on toward the land where the Amalekites and Canaanites live. Tomorrow, you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea." Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "How long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? Yes, I have heard the complaints the Israelites are making against me. Now tell them this, 'As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. You will all drop dead in this wilderness, because you complained against me, every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun." 2 Kings 6, 1 to 7, 20. The disciples of the Nevi'im said to Elisha, "See, the place where we live under your direction is too cramped for us. Let us go to the Jordan and let us each get a log there and build quarters there for ourselves to live in." "Do so," he replied. Then one of them said, "Will you please come along with your servants?" "Yes, I will come," he said, and he accompanied them. So they went to the Jordan and cut timber. As one of them was felling a trunk, the iron axe fell into the water, and he cried aloud, "Alas, master, it was a borrowed one." "Where did it fall?" asked the man of God. He showed him the spot, and he cut off a stick and threw it in, and he made the axe head float. "Pick it up," he said. So he reached out and took it. While the king of Aram was waging war against Israel, he took counsel with his officers and said, "I will encamp in such and such a place." But the man of Hashem sent word to the king of Israel, "Take care not to pass through that place, for the Arameans are encamped there." So the king of Israel sent word to the place of which the man of Hashem had told him. Time and again he alerted such a place and took precautions there. Greatly agitated about this matter, the king of Aram summoned his officers and said to them, "Tell me, who of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "No one, my lord king," said one of the officers. "Elisha, that Navi in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go, find out where he is," he said, "so that I can have him seized." It was reported to him that Elisha was in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots there and a strong force. They arrived at night and encircled the town. When the attendant of the man of Hashem rose early and went outside, he saw a force with horses and chariots surrounding the town. "Alas, master, what shall we do?" his servant asked him. "Have no fear," he replied. "There are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "Hashem, open his eyes and let him see." And Hashem opened the servant's eyes, and he saw the hills all around Elisha covered with horses and chariots of fire. The Arameans came down against him, and Elisha prayed to Hashem, "Please, strike this people with a blinding light." And he struck them with a blinding light as Elisha had asked. Elisha said to them, "This is not the road, and that is not the town. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you want." And he led them to Shomron. When they entered Shomron, or Samaria, Elisha said, "Hashem, open the eyes of these men so that they may see." Hashem opened their eyes, and they saw that they were inside Shomron. Acts 15:36-16:15. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, They assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. On the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was to be made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Psalm 142, 1-7. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto you, O Lord. I said, You are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall compass me about, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Proverbs 17:24-25. Wisdom is before him that has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bore him. I want to depart from the scriptures today to share a really excellent news article with you. It's written by Tanya Corrado Koenig, and it's titled, President Trump Faces the Iran Paradox as Allies Meet and Carriers Deploy. The article wraps up with some really great prayer points, and so I want to share this with you. It was published at watch.org on June the 18th. As war clouds deepen over the Middle East, President Donald Trump stands at the edge of a historic decision. While three U.S. aircraft carriers and strategic U.S. air power are converging toward Iran's coastline, and Western allies prepare high-level nuclear negotiations in Geneva, Trump has yet to declare a final course of action. The paradox is striking. The battlefield is mobilizing while diplomacy quietly presses forward. Boom! Carrier strike groups mobilize. The U.S. Navy has now deployed three aircraft carriers to the region, a move not seen in years. The USS Gerald R. Ford, the Navy's most advanced carrier, has been ordered to reposition toward the eastern Mediterranean. The USS Carl Vinson is already stationed in the area. The USS Nimitz is en route. Such a triple carrier presence signals high alert and overwhelming firepower. While the White House has not confirmed engagement plans, this level of naval deployment leaves no doubt. Washington is preparing for every option. Strategic air power and forward positioning. In addition to the triple carrier deployment, the United States has quietly repositioned long-range strategic bombers in anticipation of potential strikes. Both the B-2 Spirit and the B-52 Stratofortress, capable of delivering massive ordnance such as bunker-busting bombs, are reportedly on standby. These aircraft have the range and payload capacity to target Iran's deeply buried nuclear facilities, including sites like Natanz and Fordo. Military analysts believe these bombers are either deployed or can be rapidly mobilized from Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. Diego Garcia has been used as a joint U.S.-UK military base since the 1970s. Used in U.S. operations against Iraq and Afghanistan, Diego Garcia provides direct access to the Persian Gulf without reliance on regional partners. Its strategic location enhances U.S. readiness for rapid, high-impact action should a strike be ordered. Diplomacy in parallel, Geneva summit. At the same time, Germany, France, and the UK will meet this Friday in Geneva with Iran's foreign minister, according to a senior German diplomatic source. The meeting will be hosted at the German consulate in coordination with EU foreign policy chief Kaja Kallas, followed by joint talks with Iranian officials. The plan has reportedly been agreed upon with the U.S., making it a synchronized Western effort. These talks are designed to de-escalate nuclear tension and signal Iran's potential willingness to avoid direct military confrontation. The Trump equation: pressure without decision. In a recent public statement, President Trump acknowledged growing concern from his base. "We're not looking for long-term war. I only want one thing. Iran can't have a nuclear weapon." Despite this clarity of objective, Trump has not yet announced a definitive military or diplomatic move. He has called for unconditional surrender from Iran, but without rejecting diplomatic outreach. According to reports, the administration has allowed European-led talks to proceed while continuing strategic buildup. MAGA support tilts toward action. Polls now show that 65% of Trump's MAGA base supports a U.S. strike against Iran, while only 19% oppose it. The pressure from within his movement is palpable, especially as supporters interpret the 2024 assassination attempt in Butler, PA, as a divine preservation with purpose. The MAGA crowd views this moment not just through a lens of national security, but also destiny. For many, Trump was spared for such a time as this. The language surrounding Butler has taken on near biblical proportions. Among some of his most fervent followers, inaction is not prudence, it's disobedience. The paradox defined. What we see is a paradox in motion. Diplomatic talks with Iranian leadership endorsed by the U.S. Massive military firepower mobilized and ready. Presidential hesitation and prophetic momentum and political pressure. Trump is a man who often thrives in ambiguity, but this moment may soon demand clarity. Will he sanction a tactical strike, back European-led negotiations, or delay while pressure mounts? As the world waits, the question is no longer whether something will happen, but who will define it? First, the diplomats, the generals, or the president himself? A prophetic hour demands a decisive voice. This is not merely a diplomatic test or a geopolitical alignment of forces. It is a spiritual crossroad. Israel faces threats on every front, and Psalm 83's cry echoes through history. They have said, "Come, let us wipe them out as a nation." The nations gather. The war rooms fill. The carriers sail. But one man, the President of the United States, stands between detonation and delay, between retreat and resolve. And millions, Both enemies and allies are watching not just what he says, but why he was preserved. You don't choose the moment chooses you. And this moment has chosen Donald Trump. To the church, to the watchmen, to the young Davids and Deborahs, now is the time to intercede, not with political panic, but with prophetic clarity. Pray not just for action, but for obedience. Pray not just for America, but for Israel's deliverance. Pray not just for strength, but for courage to do what heaven commands. Because when the moment chooses the man, heaven watches for the response. And history will record what happened in the war room while the world held its breath. Heavenly Father, today we do lift up Donald Trump, our president, and we do pray that you will guide him and you will direct him. Whether this path of diplomacy bears forth, or whether the U.S. should get involved and assist and support Israel in its war against Iran, only you know. We pray that you will give divine wisdom and insight and understanding to Donald Trump, and that you will show him what he must do. Father, we do lift up the nation of Israel to you, and we ask that you will give total victory. The war really started on October the 7th of 2023. This is not a preemptive strike. This is Israel fighting back, defending herself against all of the terrorism, the ring of fire of terrorism that Iran has been assisting and supporting, and for the last decade, for the last 20 years, supporting and financing and sending resources, military aid to the Houthis, to Hamas, to Hezbollah, surrounding Israel with all these terrorists, genocidal terrorists that want to wipe Israel off the map. So, Father, we do pray for total victory for Israel, and that they would be able to take out all of the nuclear capabilities of Iran. We ask for a regime change in Iran, that you will topple this current regime, that this radical Islamist regime, and that you'll raise up a new government that is fair and stable and just and will be good for the people of Iran, and that this new government would actually be on good terms with Israel, would become Israel's friend and ally. Father, just give Donald Trump wisdom. Show him what you would have him to do. If he is to get involved on the war path to help Israel to defeat Iran, or if there's a diplomatic solution, we just pray, Father, that your will would be done. Please guide Donald Trump by your Holy Spirit. May he hear it clearly from you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.